Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 Well, definitely.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Brady Carlson in for Virginia Prescott. Every weekend, my wife and I pack up our 10-month-old son, Owen, in his stroller, and we walk to town. We read books and play with toys at the library. We buy bananas and peaches at the store. We stop in at the coffee shop for a diaper change and maybe a nap. If we were raising Owen in Buenos Aires instead of New Hampshire, we might be getting a late-night dinner with friends instead of afternoon coffee. And if we lived in China, we wouldn't be changing his diaper because there's a good chance he might not be using one. Mei-Ling Hopgood is a writer and associate professor of journalism at Northwestern University. In her new book, How Eskimos Keep Their Babies Warm, she tests out parenting techniques from around the world with her daughter Sophia, from trying out new foods the way French families do to potty training the Chinese way, which starts much earlier than what's done in the West. She joins us now with the good, the bad, and the messy from her global parenting adventure. Mei-Ling, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much for having me today.
You were living in Argentina when your daughter Sophia was little, and their kids often stay up past what American parents would call a normal bedtime, and yet there doesn't seem to be a generation of bleary-eyed Argentine children. How does this work?
Well, yeah, the long tradition there of putting their kids to bed much later than we would imagine. I mean, when we first moved to Argentina, we were just absolutely struck that we would see toddlers, kids of all ages, really up and out with their parents at midnight, even. And it's a shocking sight, but they somehow make it work.
And it seems like a lot of that is that, at least there's less of a separation between what's considered adult activities and what's child activities. There, when adults throw parties, they encourage the guests, bring your kids, stick around, stay as long as you like. Here, we have play dates. That's kid time. And increasingly, you'll see parties and weddings that are for grown-ups, adult time. There's less of a separation in that way.
Exactly. Well, first of all, it starts with the tradition there of eating later generally. So eating time is much later. They at 5 and 6, when we would be having meals, feeding our kids our dinners, they are having their merienda, which is their snack and their tea or even their coffee. Dinner, if you want to go out with your family or without, many places, even family-oriented places, don't even open till 8 p.m. So it's just been that way socially, and yes, absolutely, their spaces between their social spaces for adults and children are much more blended. And people believe, and I spoke to many families who said this, they realize that their child's routine suffers sometimes when they do this, but they, like one grandmother said to me, it would be a real shame for the children not to experience the family. And the family gets together at mealtime at night.
This is Word of Mouth. I'm Brady Carlson with Mei-Ling Hopgood, associate professor of journalism at Northwestern University and author of the forthcoming book, How Eskimos Keep Their Babies Warm. Mei-Ling, let's get to the messy stuff. Potty training in China starts much earlier than it does in the U.S. and also involves a lot more floor cleaning. What is the thinking behind this method, first of all?
It's less training than it is waste management, actually. The Chinese traditionally obviously did not have diapers, and they basically, when a child is able to walk or to even sit up, they take off the diaper and they let them run with their rear ends in the air, and they go where they need to go, and they learn that they're not supposed to go on the floor, but they go in the pot or in the toilet, and that's how they learn. And the Chinese had come to believe that it's actually a bad thing for kids to be in diapers too long in their lives.
It sounds like a fairly involved process, at least describing sort of your moment-to-moment log of what it's like cleaning up after your own daughter.
It is absolutely very messy.
But also one that seems to work because everyone around that child is familiar with the process and they help the kid move forward. In the U.S., we don't have one standard like that, and we certainly don't talk about the standards we do have.
Right, and you wouldn't expect your neighbor or, your cousin or someone to be cleaning up your child's poop off the floor. I mean, that's basically, it's sort of a communal teaching time. And it's more of a management issue rather than a training issue. They don't have set goals necessarily. Like, it doesn't have to be in 2 weeks, in a month or so. They are training. They're slowly adapting a child to a lifestyle and and without diapers. So it's a different thinking, you know, and I'm like this way. I want to get things done. You know, I have a goal. I want my kid to complete that goal. They are very much more laid back about that process.
And yet your daughter was able to pick up on some of this pretty quickly, you know, just in a matter of a few days. And that made me think about the role of convenience. You know, disposable diapers are great for parents. It's a very easy process, green issues aside. But at the same time, it sort of takes that whole issue off of the table. Kids don't think about it because they don't have to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, I was thinking as I'm doing this, and she's peeing on my floor, and we're dealing with the repercussions of what we decided to do, that, wow, diapers are so much easier for a parent as well. So, yes, the diaper industry has and the convenience of diapers has very much affected how we train and when we train. Because in the U.S., we also, back 50 years, we were training kids a lot younger as well.
And in the U.S., we mentioned how parents don't necessarily talk about sort of the dirty details of diaper changing, and that really parenting is directed almost solely by parents. Grandparents play a role, daycare providers, but not kids. And yet you saw several instances where kids were essentially teaching each other. I'm thinking of the school kids in France who were sort of peer pressuring each other to try new foods.
Right.
What American nutritionists wouldn't give to hear a kid say to another, you really should try that beet green salad.
Right. No, it was amazing to hear that kids were teaching kids how to eat. Of course, that's within the framework of the values and the parents and what they taught as well. But in many, many cultures, and I dare say in majority of cultures, kids are more responsible for teaching kids. In many other societies, such as France or even Japan and African tribes, kids are in charge of interactions with kids. Kids are in charge of teaching, even potty training, for example. There is more trust in sibling care, in cousin care. Kids are trusted more in group situations. There's a lot more sort of hands-off. Parenting is a lot more hands-off. They may be, actually, parents, for example, in the bush in Africa, they may be much more involved in a baby's life, having them on their body for a year, sleeping with them, doing all kinds of things that, again, we do it a little differently because we want to raise independent children, so we follow along, put them in their room alone, have them on a routine, raise an independent American child. But in, like I said, in some African tribes, they will have the baby with them all the time, but once they're walking and once they're toddlers, kids are in charge of teaching them, and kids are in charge of playing, and kids are doing a lot of the things that we as middle-class Americans think that we need to do.
One last question for you. We do see some of these traditional techniques growing in popularity in the U.S., like baby slings, but the reverse is happening too. In Kenya, baby slings have been the norm. Now you're starting to see strollers. Is it sort of, are we reaching a happy medium, or is this a marketing thing? Real briefly, because we're almost out of time.
Sure, sure. No, it's a total. You think of globalization of economies, there's a globalization of parenting. You know, marketing and of parenting, of diapers, of strollers is huge. And cultures are changing because of that.
Mei Ling, thanks so much for talking with us. Next time you're in New Hampshire, we'll put a play date together.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Mei Ling Hopgood is Associate Professor of Journalism at Northwestern University and the author of two books, the latest of which is How Eskimos Keep Their Babies Warm. You can find out more about the book at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up, a tiny paper printer with a smiley face that may be just what your smartphone needs. That's when Word of Mouth continues on NHPR.